You're listening to episode 43 of the Mad Chatters Podcast, July 22nd, 2015.
Most everyone's mad here.
Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of the Mad Chatters Podcast, your very important date for the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney Universe. My name is Derek, and I'm joined by my fellow hosts and Mad Chatters, Matthew.
Hey there.
And Jeremy.
Ohana means family, and family means nobody gets left behind.
Ohana means large sticks of meat.
That too.
That's what it means to me. You guys, it is so hot.
How appropriate.
Are you surviving?
Welcome to July. Listen, I had a wedding a couple weeks ago on a Saturday that I officiated in South Florida in July at 1:30 in the afternoon outdoors. It was horrible. Mm-mm. So I feel your pain. It is hot.
Speaking of horrible, my air conditioner went out yesterday. So as we talk, I have this portable unit sitting right beside me. Of course, it's off now because that would be way too loud. But it is getting hotter and hotter by the second. I think I'm going to pass out. But with all of the heat, I think we should give our listeners our favorite ways to beat the heat at Walt Disney World. What do you think? I just thought of that idea off the top of my head. Do you?
Oh my gosh, it's like we never planned the show. It's just off the cuff.
We could also do not ways to beat the heat.
I like do's and don'ts, you mean?
Yes.
Let's do that.
And maybe even do like five words to describe things we like at Disney or don't like at Disney.
I like that idea so much. I think we should do that first. So let's play.
I love that idea.
I love that idea, yeah.
Guys, maybe we should even do a podcast. Like, maybe people actually like to listen to us talk about these kind of things.
I'm done with this.
That's ridiculous. Let's not go that far.
Too far. Okay,
before we play Take Five, I do have a question. What's the hottest you remember ever being at a Disney park?
When I wore those white pants, I was so hot. Oh, you mean temperature. You mean temperature.
You looked good in those white pants.
Yeah. Listen, that's going in this in the show notes. That is one of my favorite Walt Disney World experiences we've ever had together.
I tried to clear that. Jessica felt led to show that to some of our leaders the other night when we were all together talking about some things here at the church house. And obvious questions were raised. I said, let me tell you how this story went down. I got dressed. Derek happened to be wearing a similar colored shirt to mine. That was coincidental. At that point, Jeremy then says, ooh, I have a shirt that's colored too. I'm going to put it on. In which case, we all three matched, two of us accidentally, one definitely on purpose.
Absolutely.
But here's the thing. I usually hate dressing in similar fashions to people I'm with, but for whatever reason that night I felt like, hey, we should all wear light blue. But
we also happened to be going to the luau show in which we had Lay's put on our selves.
And then when they took the picture of us, there was a canoe sitting in front of us, which made it blocked Matt's shin. So he's actually wearing white shorts.
I was gonna say you were wearing white shorts. They were not pants, but they looked like white pants. And you look like Bernie standing there.
I'm not even going to ask you to give a real answer to my question because it will not beat that answer. So,
oh my gosh. Let's make that our profile picture for this week of the Mad Chatters.
It's both the worst and the best picture ever.
Oh my gosh. Good times. All right. Take five. Take five is when we throw a topic out there. And we give five words that describe our feelings or whatever on the topic. So we're going to start with the magic carpets of Aladdin. Derek, give us your five words.
All right. unbelievable sights are now blocked.
Very nice.
That being the tiki room.
That was, yes. That was good.
Thank you. I didn't even warm up.
He's a professional.
Yeah, this is just on the spot too, right?
That's right. He even took out his ear monitor for that. That's good.
My take five, Magic Carpets of Aladdin. Fly back to Baghdad, baby. Go on back.
Okay, I'm a little loosey-goosey with my top five this week, or five words, because I'm going to consider Mr. Iger to be one word, okay? Mr. Iger, tear down this crap.
That's so weird, because I thought of the same reference.
Yeah. That's anywho. Funny. Okay, yeah. Next.
I like how you also said it like it was one word. Mr. Iger.
That's part of the Disney Mad Hatter magic. Mm.
Jessica be like, who's Miss Stryker?
I didn't laugh at that.
All right, next top five topic. The Sigourney Weaver audio animatronic in the Great Movie Ride. Derek, your five words.
I had trouble with this one. I'll just say, girl don't stand a chance. And that just means, like, she's so slow moving. Like, she doesn't really do anything.
That is true. And she just kind of turns her head back and forth.
Yeah.
There's not a lot going on.
It's like she's a goner.
Go ahead.
Where'd the extra sprinkler go?
The only reason I get that is because you mentioned on the show before. And now right. I think of it every time you say it. I wish you could see a video of Matt doing it. But yeah. You jerk your head slowly and then you jerk it back and then slowly
she's like,
and then jerk
she's
it back.
She's like, uh-oh, what was that? What was that?
If you
everybody's like, turn around, the slime.
All right, I'm going to give a second for everybody who's listening to Google search this audiomatronic as I'm about to say my five words.
Okay.
And you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
More like transgender Jay Leno. Because she's got a little bit of that Jay Leno chin, you know, and she's in a
little
wig.
Sweaty.
A little sweaty.
She's so shiny.
Yeah. Well, we can't judge that, though.
We call her JJ.
All right, next topic. The vomit bags on Mission Space.
I'd prefer a body bag.
Ooh.
Burn.
Take that, Epcot. Take that, Gary Sinise.
That's right.
Bag contents may become airborne.
Ew.
I thought about the only like three times, there's only like 10% of that ride in which you could actually have something in your hand and it not like either fly back in your face or just like fall. I mean, you're dangling sometimes. You got the G-forces most of the time. It's like there's never a time. If I saw somebody pull out the bag, I would just as soon as them just go ahead and...
And blow chunks all over the console.
Just, yeah.
That would make it more authentic.
Yeah.
That is a really good point.
I mean, if you're trying to vomit in the bag, first of all, you couldn't loose your hands to get the bag during the takeoff thing. You get it to your face, you're trying to throw up, and as the vomit is coming out of your mouth to go into the bag, it's just like seeping up your face.
Centrifugal force.
And then suddenly it's released and it all goes.
I wish there was like, because you know they video that, like it's if for security reasons. Everybody's on TV when you're in that right. ride. I wish they would release video of people who have actually vomited on that ride, because that right. would be interesting to see.
That's a YouTube montage waiting to happen.
Mm.
All right.
My five words about vomit bags. More like trans... Oh, that was the last one. My bad.
Like another transgender joke?
Vomit bags. Needed throughout the whole attraction.
Mm.
That pre-show. Ooh. Anywho. All right, next one.
Oh, I see. The whole attraction.
The whole attraction. And Destiny. Ooh, help us.
Yeah, you need it then.
Next one. Technology in the final scene of Carousel of Progress. Now, I need to make an amendment because I suggested this topic. But we have a faithful listener, Michelle, who's also a dear friend, and she takes every opportunity she can to make fun of this attraction to me. In fact, she calls the Carousel of Progress the Wheel of Boredom. And so nice. I just want her to know that even though we are going to poke fun a little bit at the Carousel of Progress, this is still a great attraction. All right. Technology in the final scene of Carousel of Progress. Go, Derek.
So outdated. Families eating together.
Ooh, womp, womp, womp.
At least there's a flat screen.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Yeah, that was the update they did a few years ago to make it more modern.
And they changed... One of the lines says something about high def, I think. I feel like they changed that.
Maybe.
I might be wrong.
Is virtual reality hyphenated?
No, but yeah. we'll go with it.
It is now.
You cheat so much.
Where's my virtual reality? Thanks, Obama.
Oh, Mama. I really wanted to do a Mean Girls quote and say, stop trying to make virtual reality happen, but...
With Obama, you would be more like, hey, thanks for the free virtual reality.
I just feel like we don't have that technology today. Like, they're so pumped about their video game headset. And I'm like, where's that at?
That happened for like a year.
It did.
The virtual reality thing.
Yeah.
It was like, it was such a huge thing. People kept trying to get it to work.
And even at the mall, remember how you go to the mall exactly. And there would be like those virtual reality things?
Wasn't immersive enough.
It's the same thing like 3D movies. Like, remember how every movie was 3D there for a while and now... Anyways.
I mean, I just saw Inside Out in 3D.
Oh, did you really?
And Jurassic World.
Oh. But was that necessary? Because I saw both of them in 2D.
No, it was not necessary.
So, there you go. All right, last top five, and hopefully the last time we ever reference these on this podcast, and that is the poop brownie treats at Disney's Animal Kingdom, which are now gone from the park, but live in infamy nonetheless.
Yeah, I guess we didn't really announce that on this show, but they announced that it was like a testing phase, and they might bring it back, they might not, who knows. But.
Lord help us all. All right, go ahead, Derek.
Mine is for you, Jeremy.
Oh, boy.
Relax. Disney's just being feces-ious.
That's very punny.
Feces-ious. Oh. Mine hinges on the fact that these are no longer available.
Okay. I like how we have to qualify each one. Yes, that's good.
See, because vomit doesn't work if you...
It's very late as we record this, just so y'all, so our audience knows.
The poop treats at Animal Kingdom, which are now
defunct.
We said the same word.
Jinx.
Hey. No. That was my first one. Does anyone have some Miralax?
Why is that hinge on the fact that they're defunct now?
Because there's no more poop. We need the animals to poop. Miralax can take 2 to 3 days, though, so they might want to go for the dull class.
And I have a feeling they're going to look a lot different when they come out.
Yeah, next will be poop frappuccinos.
Stop. Oh, you went there. Oh, stop.
Listen, he's just taking it to its logical conclusion, okay? You've opened the door with poop brownies.
Hey, I like the poop treats. The only thing I'm bitter about is I can't have one now because they're gone for a while.
I'll give you one next time I'm up there, all right? So, all right, my five words on poop treats at DAK, and that is
deleted.
What's next? Animal scrotum snookerdoodles?
You tickled yourself on that one.
That's not even a like thing. Like animal scrotum, like.
He got so tickled.
Oh my gosh. Like, I laughed this hard when I wrote that this afternoon. No joke.
Oh, and my it still gosh. Makes me
But can you imagine that? Like, ooh. Do y'all want the zebra scrotum
snookerdoodle? Oh.
Or what about the rhinoceros scrotum sugar cookies? Those are good.
You're a mess.
Oh, I don't know. I think a nutsack would be more appropriate. Your animal scrotum roasted nutsack.
Lord help us.
I don't even know what to do.
Take five, folks. There you go.
That's it.
Disney. Confessions.
I have never ridden the carousel.
I like the smell on the monorail.
I'm oddly attracted to Trixie of the Country Bear Jamboree. Disney. Confessions.
I want to strip naked and swim in every fountain at Walt Disney World.
I kind of love Chester and Hester's Dino-rama.
Disney. Confessions. I always fall asleep halfway through the American Adventure. I usually wake up around the time Golden Dream starts.
I can't watch Star Wars Jedi Training Academy because I'm too jealous of the kids who get chosen.
Disney. Confessions. I'm oddly attracted to Martin Short in O Canada.
I think it's stupid that Jeremy claims Splash Mountain is his favorite ride, but he doesn't like to get wet.
I kind of hate Chester and Hester's Dino-rama.
It's July, so probably our advice to people to beat the heat would be don't go to Disney World. But let's face it, you can't tell people just not to go in July because people are going to go in July. So let's help out our listeners who are going in July during these dog days of summer, and let's give them a few do's and don'ts of what to do to beat the heat. Of course, these are all of the things that we enjoy doing, maybe not. We can't promise this is the best advice in the world. This is just what we would do or not do. So, Matt, why don't you kick off this list? What's something you shouldn't do?
Something you should not do to beat the heat is to visit Animal Kingdom during the hottest part of the day. Mm. Really, just Animal Kingdom from like 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. should be avoided.
It is a scientific fact that this park is hotter than the other three.
Well, there's so much foliage. It's not, I mean, I guess it is hotter, but it just feels of hotness because of the humidity and all the plants.
And you would think you would be shaded by like plants. No. Like, oh, it's cooler because there's plants. I can stay in the shade. Nope. These plants must release some like thermal energy or something because it is hotter.
And all of the queues, not all of the queues, most of the queues are outdoors. I'm thinking safaris, Expedition Everest, Cali River Rapids. All of these are outdoor queues.
In fact, the only indoor really is probably Dinosaur.
Yeah, and then like the shows.
Yeah, like, but even Tough with the Bug, if it's a busy day, you're going to be outside.
It's true. So. Yeah, it's just a hot park. So if you can, if you are going to go, and you should, go in the morning, leave about lunchtime, come back in the afternoon.
Well, especially like if you want to ride the safaris, like the animals are not active during the hot time either. Like,
that's true.
They're like, it's July. We are going into the shade ourselves. So, you know, you want to see them in the morning or at dusk. You know, they're not going to be out and active at one in the afternoon. They're hot like you are. So,
well, thank you.
In fact, even hotter because they have fur, you know. So, yeah, you're welcome.
Fur is so hot.
All right, well, I've got something you should do to beat the heat. This is my recommendation. Take breaks from the parks. Go back to your resort. Relax. take a nap in the air conditioning, maybe go for a swim in the pool, but just get out of there.
Yeah.
People don't understand this tip until they've been to Disney World more than one time. Mm-hmm. Because that first time they go, that all they can think is, no, I got to be in the park because we paid a lot of money and to be here and we want to enjoy. And so they're dragging their kids who are tired and cranky to attraction and nobody's having a good time.
And it's just as much a waste of money because everyone's miserable.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's true. So take a few hours, go back to the resort, relax. Like you said, enjoy the pool. There you go. Go, you know, cool off for a little bit. Or if nothing else, just take a nap in your hotel room in the AC.
If you've got a multi-day ticket and you're actually multiple days, like over 3 days, your price per day has decreased significantly for a multi-day ticket. So you are not wasting that much money to take a break, cool off, swim, enjoy your time. This is one of those times when it really does pay off to stay at a Disney resort, but it's almost advisable, even if you're not at a Disney resort, to go back to wherever you're staying and just take a little breather. You need a couple hours. We just said this about Animal Kingdom, but I would say with any park, especially the Magic Kingdom, to get out of there at like 1 o'clock and don't even think about coming back till like 6. If it's during the summer, like we're talking about, and they're closing later, you've got plenty of time to enjoy the park, and you avoid the afternoon parade, which is like the hottest part of the day. Why they put that at 3 p.m., I have no idea. Just go back, eat lunch, swim, take a nap. Everybody will be happier, I promise you.
Mm-hmm. Even the three of us, I mean, Matt has a wife and a child, but when the three of us went without those added things, just baggage. Even as three... hey, Jessica, he
family.
Said it. I'm totally kidding.
We still, when we would be there for a week or so, we would always plan at least one day that was like the short day, where we went to the park in the morning, but we always scheduled time to come back to the resort in the afternoon to relax, to refresh, to, cool off, and then go out that evening. So it's necessary, and especially if you have young children or older people in your party who can't necessarily handle the heat, or overweight people, which I've noticed they get a little hotter quicker as well. So, consider those things. Like you said, it's one thing to be in the park and not enjoy it. I mean, that's just as bad as being at the resort, per se. But the resort, again, will refresh you, at least in that moment, even though you're missing attractions.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I've offended overweight people and old people and children, shall we go on to the next one?
Yeah.
Don't. I have a don't. Don't attend an outdoor show in the afternoon. We can discuss... Oh, no, that's not what we're supposed to read.
Don't read the stage directions, Jeremy.
No, but don't attend an outdoor show in the afternoon. This is great advice. I can think of probably the worst place. First off, it's the worst show. But second, it's the worst place to see a show. And that is Lights, Motors, Action.
Oh.
That, I mean, it's metal bleachers, which seem to absorb the heat as it is.
It's and like, then, like a toaster oven for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and they turn on some fans, but all that seems to do is blow heat. It doesn't even blow cool air at all. So you're going to be miserable in outdoor shows. If you're going to be there in the afternoon, plan strategically and be like, oh, we're going to do Voyage of the Little Mermaid at 2 in the afternoon and not Beauty and the Beast live on stage. Both poor choices in my opinion, but there you go. At least one is indoors. So
I just assume, say, avoid outdoor shows. There's not a single one I enjoy or like.
Ouch.
Do you remember, that is a pretty strong statement. Do you remember a couple years
Name
back?
One that you like and enjoy.
Flights of Wonder. Oh, no way. I've never seen that. Just kidding.
Yeah, you may be right.
Mickey and the Magical Map in Disneyland.
Yeah, Disneyland.
But even that, it was hot, but at least it was
was so hot, and there was no air circulating in there.
But that Princess Medley made up for it. That's all I'm saying.
Fantasmic. That's the only one worth watching, and it's not in the heat of the
Do
day.
Do not watch that in the afternoon.
You can't.
That's a tip from the Mad Chatters. You write that down.
What was I going to say just now? Hold on.
Sorry,
I don't know. Something about stuffed animals, animation. Costumes.
What a
know.
Jerk.
Princess
no.
Medleys.
Oh, I do know now. Yeah. And also pick your attractions carefully as well, because some of the queues, even though they may only be outdoors for an extended period of time, and then you finally get indoors or in the shade or in the AC, that outdoor part can be brutal as well. I remember when we were with your family, Derek, and it was my fault. I said, oh, Little Mermaid, it's indoors. You know, once you get in there, you're not outside that long. But that little part that we were outside in the queue in the
Death Trap
in Florida sun with the concrete surrounding us, it was horrible. And I felt bad because we had small children with us. But
you know what? Earlier I asked, what's the hottest you remember being? I think that probably takes it for me, because it was July and we were outside and it was awful.
And I felt bad because, again, I kept being like, no, the door is right there, I promise. But it just took us forever to get in that door. Yeah,
and then right as you get close, the queue like curves back around and you do another zigzag. It's like, oh.
So, but anyhow, we made it indoors eventually and everybody enjoyed the attraction. But yeah, you got to think about those kind of things as well. Like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, you're having 100 plus minute waits right now. And most of that queue is outdoors. You got to consider that, you know, even though
you're talking about Little Mermaid, the attraction. The hottest I have ever been at Walt Disney World was in the queue. I've talked about this on the show before, but it's worth rehearsing if you want to beat the heat. Now, this was at evening time. This was not even in the daytime. This was in like dusk, humid, I don't know. Was waiting in line for Ariel's Grotto to meet Ariel there beside her attraction. In a cavern, we were waiting. I mean, there was no airflow whatsoever. August, hot, humid. I mean, it was like the doorways of hell. And Ariel was on the other side waiting to greet us into the pits of the abyss.
Well, that's because mermaids need all that humidity when they're out of the water, you know, and they need to...
It was terrible.
Yeah.
I'm like terrified of that. I have like a subconscious fear of the Little Mermaid now because of that heat.
All you have to do is say grotto and he puckers up.
I'm puckering now. Here's another do. When the day really starts to heat up, take in an indoor show or film, or ride an indoor attraction. I'll tell you a Wombo Combo you can go to, and that's in Epcot. Book your Soarin' Fast Pass for, you know, mid-afternoon. Mm-hmm. Since you're obviously going to be in Future World in the morning before you take your afternoon break and return for World Showcase in the evening when it was meant to be enjoyed, you will be able to dine at the only place in Future World where you should have your lunch.
Counter service.
Yeah, counter service lunch, if you're going to do counter service lunch. Book your Soarin Fast Pass around lunchtime. You can eat before or after Soarin, depending on your stomach sensitivity to motion. And then go watch Circle of Life. It's a nice flashback to the 90s for you. Ride Living with the Land, one of my personal favorites, and rarely has a very long wait time, maybe like 10 minutes, 15 max.
And the only attraction that features a George Bush quote in the queue. There's a fun fact you don't see in a brochure.
That is so much fun.
So unique. So that whole pavilion, the whole land pavilion is obviously indoors, like a giant commons mall food court type area. So that's a great place to spend at least an hour or two, you know, eating, riding Soarin', riding Living with the Land.
And decent Circle food of Life as well. I mean, the food I think is kind of underrated there.
It is underrated. You got to eat the right things. The Asian station is to be avoided at all cost, but it's better than the Electric Umbrella.
That is true. But I've had a couple of salads there. They do the made to order tossed salads. And they're good. What's that supposed to mean? The salads are very good there and very fresh. And as you learn when you ride Living with the Land, that a lot of the vegetables grown in the attraction are used right there. So you could be eating the Brussels sprout you just saw. Probably not.
Floating around in a space age mineral fertilizer.
There you go. Yeah, I agree. Epcot is probably the best park for the hottest days, particularly Future World.
I was just about to say that with Test Track and Spaceship Earth and Mission Space, they're all
and under. Ellen's
but even in the Magic
Adventure,
Kingdom,
oh yeah,
which is
oh yeah,
catered
45 minutes.
It's like, here, we're going to give you an attraction that's almost an hour long in the AC. Mm-hmm. You just relax.
And I love it. We love it. There are a lot of people who don't love it because it's long and quote unquote boring, but I love it, and it
I
is
do
worth
too.
The 45 minutes. Even in the Magic Kingdom, there are certain things you can always count on in the afternoon when it gets hot, when it gets sticky, things you can just, you know, I can just go there and do that. The Enchanted Tiki Room is one.
Yes.
You might have to wait outside in the queue area for a little while, but it's a wonderful queue with a waterfall. It's usually pretty cool in there. And then you go inside for about a 15-minute little show. That's great. Hall of Presidents is what, about 25 minutes long? Obviously, all indoor. You can always just walk right in. Even the waiting area, as you're waiting to get in, there's no line. It's just a massive room with all the pictures of the presidents and things. All AC. Going to the theater for the 25-minute show. That's always good. Carousel of Progress is always a go-to. That's like a 20-minute, you know, show slash slow-moving theater ride thing. And that's always a walk-on, too. There are lots mm-hmm. of always good options. And us Disney lovers love those attractions.
Space Mountain, I would say get your fast pass for the afternoon when it's going to be hot. Well, but then you're not really waiting in line, so I guess that defeats the purpose. But PhilharMagic, another great one.
Oh, yes.
I would even argue that TTA might be a good choice just because there's not going to really be a line. And then once you get on it and it starts moving, that breeze really can refresh you.
Definitely.
Yeah, Hollywood Studios, you're looking at a great movie ride, even if there is a wait for that, and the majority of it will be inside, and then it's a good 20-minute ride inside, at least 20 minutes, 15 maybe, a little shorter.
Muppets is indoors.
Muppet Vision 3D, yeah, and the queue is indoor, most of it, most of the time. It's not crowded enough for the queue to go ever outside ever again, and... I was going to say Voyage of the Little Mermaid, but you're right. If you get stuck outside there for the 15 minutes, it can be brutal. So maybe not that one so much.
Yeah, well, if you're going to be outside anyway, though, at least that's a guaranteed 25, 30 minutes indoors.
When you're looking at Animal Kingdom, we talked about their queues mostly being outdoors. But at least, you know, once you're inside Nemo, the musical, it'll be 20 to 25 minutes. Festival of the Lion King.
Nemo's like 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's pretty long then. Festival of Lion King's long, too. Outdoor queue as well. So you kind of you have to bear through it to get into the coolness. But you're there for a while, and it's entertaining either way.
Dinosaurs indoors. Yeah. So there are lots of good options. And now that you can schedule fast passes, I think that is something to think about. But I don't know which is better, to schedule your fast pass for the afternoon or schedule your fast pass for the hot attractions in the afternoon. That way you can go through them quickly and then wait in line. I don't know.
Well, rides like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and Big Thunder Mountain, which have outdoor, well, even though it's covered, it's still outdoor technically, Big Thunder Mountain. Those queues that are so hot, those, in my opinion, are better attractions at night anyway.
Yeah.
So true. Wait till the cool.
The worst. I'm telling you, the worst death trap queue at the Magic Kingdom, except for Ariel's Grotto. But this one will actually probably have you waiting in it. Just never, ever, 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 ever wait for Splash Mountain in the heat of the day. That little area where most of your waiting is, you know what I'm talking about? You go under the train, railroad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's that little area back there that's sandwiched between the little facade of the bathrooms and the side of the mountain.
It's never ending.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's literally, because of its placement inside this big like catacomb of buildings and mountain stuff, there's no airflow in there. And even if it's completely shaded, it is just like a sauna in there.
That actually brings us to our next don't, which is don't wait until the hottest part of the day to ride a water ride. We know it's smoking hot outside. You want to get on Splash Mountain. You want to get on Cali River Rapids because it's going to feel so good. But everyone and their mom thought the exact same thing, and you're going to wait in that outdoor queue for a good 100 minutes in the busy times mm-hmm. of the summer. And it's not fun.
No. And in reality, Cali River Rapids, you do run the risk of being completely soaked. Everybody gets usually pretty wet. Splash Mountain, you're going to get a little bit of a spritz unless you get caught outside when the log comes down and you get splashed really good. That's where you get the wettest. So you're not going to get like a, you know, a dip in the pool by riding the rider. And that's when you go back to your resort and go swimming if you want to do that.
That's true.
Don't do it. That's the water rides aren't going to do it for you.
Or you run over to the Casey Jr. splash and play with all the little children.
There you go, with the dysentery. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I was going to say there are several places in the parks where you can cool down without actually being on an attraction with water. I'm thinking about particularly at Epcot, where they have kind of in that in-between space between Future World and World Showcase, they have little pop-up fountains that children often play in. But again, if you want to stick your head in that and kind of get a cool off as it squirts up, that's nice.
I think you're going to say the Fountain of Nations. Just take a dip in there.
No, you're not allowed to get in that. But
blow
also,
you into the air.
Over by Test Track, they have the little mister area that looks like a car wash. It looks kind of tacky, but it's nice for, you know, getting a little mist. If you don't want to get full-fledged wet, you know, you get a little cool squirt all over your face and body.
Squirt.
There you go. So there are little opportunities. Casey Jr. is another one in the Magic Kingdom as well. So there are opportunities in the park where you can kind of, without getting full-fledged water park wet, you can just get a little, you know, soak your head or soak your hat or your back of your neck or whatever you want to do to help you feel a little cool and refreshed in the middle of the day. Again, you take the risk of cholera, but there you go.
Cholera?
Isn't that a waterborne illness as well?
I don't know.
I think it is.
Speaking of waterborne illness and water parks, do visit a Walt Disney World water park. Okay, so aside from going back to your resort or your room or whatever and swimming in the pool, you may decide one morning / afternoon to spend a little bit of time at Blizzard Beach and or Typhoon Lagoon, which which are Walt Disney World's two water parks. And these both, I mean, obviously they're water parks, but they're very... With Blizzard Beach, you get slightly different. You get this, you get a lot more slides, and there's the subconscious visual element of coolness with the snow, even though it's not real snow. You got that going on. But yeah, Typhoon Lagoon has the more tropical beach flavor to it with a large wave pool that's a little more comfortable to be in for a long time than that small, crowded, bobbing pool at Blizzard Beach, in my opinion. But both have lazy rivers, which are also good for just staking out.
That was just what I was going to say. I am a lazy river pro, and I love both the lazy rivers at both of these water parks. And you can't beat that because you're just floating in a tube. In fact, I actually got upset because throughout the lazy river, they have little fountains that spray you from time to time. And I don't even like that. I'm like, I'm fine. I don't need to be sprayed. If I wanted to get sprayed, I just dunk myself in the
water. Oh, at Blizzard Beach, they're terribly cold, those little water features.
But other than that, the lazy rivers are wonderful. You could almost fall asleep in your raft as you go through. So that's a great way to beat the heat. And they're covered. That's the thing I like, too, is there's a lot of tree coverage on the lazy rivers, so you're not going to get burnt or fried while you're floating.
The water parks are not to be overlooked. These are always on, like, top 10 lists, top 5 lists, whatever, of water parks in the world, not just the United States. I think the theming has a lot to do with it, but just they're just really, really enjoyable parks from top to bottom.
And I'm not like a water park fan personally. Like, that's just not my thing. But even I enjoy going to them when I do. So even if you're not hip on water parks, you should at least check it out. Because like I said, if nothing else, floating in that lazy river is totally worth the price of admission, in my opinion.
Well, let's talk about something you shouldn't do. Y'all can make fun. This was my addition to the list, but it is smart. Don't wait until you get to the parks before you buy whatever thing they're selling you to keep you cool. Like those mist fans they sell you, you're going to want to cave and buy one of those. But they like $20. That is too expensive. On Amazon, they like $5. You don't need to be spending $20 on one of those things.
I feel that way about a lot of the merchandise that's sold in the parks, and Disney may hate me for saying this, but that's all right. For the tens and tens of you listening, you'll get this. Buy your misters beforehand at the Dollar General. Buy your glow lights and what do they call those, like the glow wristbands or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you, now listen, you got to do this tastefully. I've seen this done well. I've seen it done not so well. I've seen parents come prepared with like a Disney Buzz Lightyear, Winnie the Pooh, whatever spinner, lighting little light toy thing that they've bought off Amazon for really cheap, or like bought them in bulk for their whole family, you know. I've also seen the people come with like glow sticks. But and so when the little kid sees the spinning Buzz Lightyear and you hand him, oh, I got you a glow necklace, he's like, well, thank you.
But these are also the families that are buying poop brownies, though. So, you know, it all...
Oh, you mean the fun ones?
Exactly.
No, I do agree. Yeah, you know, get you a Mickey head on top of your spinny thing. But there's so much at Disney that, again, to save a buck, you know, don't show it to your kid before you get there. You know, let him experience it for the first time there. Like, ooh, look, you know, kind of a thing. And they'll be totally enthralled by it. But the Mister is that way as well. Because, like Derek said, this is just a simple little fan with a water bottle attachment that squirts a little bit of water on you. Is really all it is. You can buy the same thing much, much cheaper before you get into the park. And yeah. The thing about the thing that bothers me the most, like, when it comes to ponchos, like, I always buy the 99-cent poncho at Walmart before I go to the park, if I ever need to wear a poncho, which I usually don't. But anyways, I keep them in my backpack at all times because I refuse to pay $9 for a poncho in the park. But if I had to buy a poncho for $9, at least it has Mickey Mouse on the front of it. These squirt fans, I don't even think they have anything distinguishing them as Walt Disney merchandise. And not a Mickey Mouse on it. Maybe it says Walt Disney World on it. But other than that, there's nothing like distinctive about it. Like, ooh, this is special. You can only get it in the parks. So buy it ahead of time.
We talked about this a few weeks ago when watered bottles went from $2.50 to $2.75. But bottled water is a trap. I mean, you can bring bottled water into the park. So go buy them for 50 cents a bottle, bring them in. Or you can ask for tap water at restaurants for free. Or you can use the water fountains, which aren't so good. But there are plenty of options rather than on the spot saying, I'm thirsty, it's hot, let me spend almost $3 for a bottle of water.
But don't be the guy that Matt and I saw carrying the cooler into the Magic Kingdom. Right, don't be that guy. There are limits. So, anywho.
Hey, it saved him a lot of money, I bet.
That is true. But speaking of dues, I don't know, that's not a good transition.
Considering we were at a don't.
Right.
Do make a reservation for an early dinner at a table service restaurant. Again, you may feel like an old person going to the local Crackle Barrel or...
Crackle Barrel.
Cracker Barrel. Or the local buffet.
I prefer to call it the Caucasian Barrel.
There you go. But don't be afraid to make your dinner reservation a little earlier. At least for me, I have found that the heat makes me not so hungry. I don't know if that's a general thing or not.
I totally agree.
But, you know, you're going to be kind of peckish all day as far as you're not going to eat a lot. But once the sun starts to go down, then your appetite kind of catches up with you. So if if you're like me, by 4:30... starting to cool off a little bit, 5 o'clock, you're ready for dinner. So, you know, make your reservation a little earlier. That way you can get into the restaurant and cool down and enjoy the evening. And by the time you finish your meal, you're outside again and it's 6-7 o'clock and the sun's kind of on its way down. So,
which if you follow our advice, you should be in your hotel room until at least 5 or 6.
Well, that is true. So you can go to the park and enjoy an attraction and then go straight to the restaurant. Or just go straight to the restaurant.
Go to the restaurant and go to the park after. You got like 3 or 4 hours. You got the extra magic hours because you're staying at a Disney resort, obviously.
I didn't expect this to be the case, but on our first trip to Disney World, one of my favorite things, just the thing I brought back as one of the most memorable things, was leaving a park and going to a restaurant. Yes, I love the attractions. I love the parks. But I think I was just so taken back that the restaurants would be such a huge part of our vacation. And they were, to be able to go away from the heat, sit down, which is underrated at Disney World, sit down, relax with some friends, have some good food at some of these restaurants, you know. And then after an hour and a half, it's amazing how refreshed you are and ready to go back into the park and do what you weren't able to do earlier in the day.
Yep.
And restaurants, I feel like, are like a lot of the smaller attractions at Walt Disney World when you're hot. You enjoy them a lot more simply because they're a break from the heat.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't be afraid to jump into a little attraction that you maybe would never be interested in any other time, except it's just so hot and it looks like it's 10 minutes that we can just get out of this sun. And then you get in there. Like I said, it's a little moment of a refreshment, a relaxation, and then you're pumped for the rest of the day.
And I think this is going to sound so snooty, but I feel like the table service restaurants refresh me 4 times as much as stopping. I mean, I know it's air conditioned in those quick service restaurants. It's air conditioned, but just families all around you moving constantly and trying to get their own meal and trying to get their kids settled down and whatever. Whereas a table service restaurant is, you have a table just for you. There's a waiter. You can relax. So
I would even say get to your table service reservation a little early and check in. Tell them I'm here. My reservation is for this time. Even if sometimes they will be able to seat you earlier than your allotted time. But even if not, then you have the opportunity just to sit around the hotel lobby. You know, if you're at the Polynesian or the Grand Floridian or Wilderness Lodge for one of their wonderful dining locations, you can just sit around and chill in a wonderful, beautiful lobby. And then wait on your time to go eat. The whole time can be very refreshing, even if you're waiting.
Mm. You remember when we went to the luau? Like, I remember we went back to the hotel and we refreshed and we changed clothes, but then it was such a long walk to get to the restaurant at the Polynesian because it's...
Well, do you remember why it was so long?
Did you get
because we were late. Remember, we were late for check-in and we didn't want to have to get out at the... We didn't want to have to get on the monorail and go to the Polynesian. And my genius self said, hey, the Polynesian Resort is right there. Let's just walk over there. Not knowing that the Luau Cove was on the other side of the resort.
Right. We got
so we
at
walked
the
from the ticket transportation.
Yeah.
And walked all the way over to the Luau Cove, which is like a mile.
Yeah. Which when we got there, we were just exhausted and tired. And did it rain before or at the end? I know it rained at the end, but okay. But anyways, we got there, and I just remember being exhausted. But you're right. Just sitting down and just relaxing, it kind of made all of that go away. You know, any kind of stress you had over the heat before. Once you sit down, relax, get some water in you, get some coolness, get some food, it does refresh you. So don't underestimate the power of a good reservation.
Speaking of stress, that brings us to our last don't of this show. Don't let the heat win. And this means it's going to get hot.
Yep.
You're going to get grumpy. And the easy thing to do is just let the grumpiness take over you. But there are other options. We've given quite a few on this show already. But you can do something before the heat takes over, before you become Mr. Grumpy Pants and no one wants to be around you and your entire day is ruined. Go find somewhere indoors. Go find something to eat. Go back to your resort. It's not going to ruin your vacation, I promise.
Just use your brains and preempt any bad mood. You can preempt bad mood by just simply understanding.
Manage your expectations.
Yes, at the Magic Kingdom, it's going to get very hot in the afternoon. And if you are near Main Street, it's going to get very crowded in the afternoon. And even around Main Street, every time like the Move It, Shake It, Celebrate It thing comes through, it's chaos and it's hot. And as soon as that's over, guess where all those people go? To some attraction that's close by. When the parade comes, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's hot, it's crowded. Guess what happens when the parade gets out? All the way from Frontierland over to Main Street. Your Splash Mountain, your Big Thunder Mountain, Haunted Mansion, Hall of Presidents, all that's going to be swamped. So just use your brains. You got small children. Get out before all of that. Maybe one day, just spend the morning at the pool, and then come at 3 o'clock if you want to see the parade. And then enjoy the rest of the day at the Magic Kingdom. But by all means, just there's never a time when it's appropriate to be at a theme park for the entire day. If you can help it.
Well, again, if you're there in January, sure. But not in July. And again, you, especially if you have children, don't push your kids beyond their limits. If they're grouchy, if they're tired, if they're hot and cranky, then that's time to take a break. Because you and your children, you will not necessarily remember, hey, we didn't get to go on Peter Pan because we went back to the hotel. But you will remember, oh, I hated Peter Pan because the kids melted down in the queue and it was hot and blah, blah, blah. that's going to be the lasting memory rather than, hey, we enjoyed our vacation and yeah,
we didn't get to do one or two things. Just as many memories at the pool, at your resort, everybody's wiped out on the bed sleeping for a nap. Those are just as good memories as anything that you'll encounter in the parks, especially when everybody's cranky and upset.
And this is when good trip planning comes in handy, because there's a lot of people that just go to Disney without any kind of trip planning at all. But hey, if you know my family absolutely loves Peter Pan, we want to do Peter Pan, then put that as a high thing on your list to do first thing in the morning. You know, don't just show up and be like, oh, we didn't know there was Peter Pan and now the kids are melting down and they didn't get to ride Peter Pan and blah blah blah. Nope. No, hey, these are our must-dos, and then these are our secondary things, and if we don't get to those secondary things because it's too hot, that's okay. We've still gotten to do the things that we love, and next trip, whether it's a year from now or 5 years from now, whatever, we'll do those secondary things, you know, if we want to.
This brings us to our last tip of the day for beating the heat at Walt Disney World, and it is a do. Do cool down with a refreshing treat. And by all means, stay hydrated. I'm not one for ice cream when I'm hot. Some people do enjoy like an actual ice cream sundae or something when they're hot because it's cold, I guess, but I don't know. It's just never been a thing for me. When I'm hot, I want like juice, water. I could do like a Dole Whip float, and that's because there's pineapple juice all in the bottom, and that's wonderful when you're hot and you need some refreshing. But you know, if you got to buy a bottle of water, whatever, you know, go do that. Buy one of the fruit juice bars at one of the ice cream stands, and there's lots of little refreshing treats all around Walt Disney World that will keep you cool and refreshed.
If you are at Epcot, the best way that you can cool down with a refreshing treat that is free with the price of admission is to go to Club Cool right there by the Fountain of Nations.
Cool is in the name.
Cool is in the name. If you can get over the sticky floor, then you're golden.
Do y'all remember, did we go when they had the original entrance to this?
No.
Do you remember? It was like an ice cave walked through. There was this big entrance beside the fountain view thing, and it was like, I mean, it was a good little, like almost like a queue line through this ice cave. They had like a little caveman statue inside, frozen with a Coke bottle up to his mouth.
Huh,
and no, then you entered into the actual building. That was really nice because you could just walk through there, kind of slowly meander through the coolness. But yeah, Jeremy's right. And then you get what, like 10. 12 different types of soda from around the world you can sample.
Oh, I thought it was like 30.
No, there's only like 6 to 10 because each
every station has the same one.
Has the same. Okay. But still, you know, you can go in there and sample some of the beverages, and there's some gross ones and there's some good ones, and then you find the good one and you can just stand there all day if you wanted to. And
I've been known to fill up a water bottle with...
No, you are that guy?
That should have been your Disney confession.
That was long ago. It was like a little... One of the Vitamita Vegemin or whatever it was.
All right, Lucy. I'm judging you on that, man. I judge those people. I'm like, listen, this is not the 7-Eleven. Anyways, you can just stand there all day and get your, you know, shots of the little cups they have there.
To try Beverly.
Yeah.
From Italy.
Yeah, I like the one, I forget what it is. Melon, I think, is the one I like. It's like a Fanta melon kind of a thing. Anyways.
Okay.
There's always one that makes you want to vomit.
Beverly.
Guaranteed.
When we were in Disneyland, my go-to refreshing treat every day, about late afternoon, 4 or 5, was an iced coffee from Starbucks. For me, that just like screams cool down refreshment.
So. Even when we were in San Francisco after Disneyland, it was like, hey, there's a Starbucks here. Let's go.
I mean, they're on every corner. They're just begging to be visited.
I'm not lactose intolerant at all. And I know Jeremy was, you crucified Jeremy a few weeks ago for talking about ice cream being,
Yeah, it was
Jeremy ice cream. Crucified you for talking about the milkshake.
No,
well, I was said I'd like a milkshake, and he said, "Why would you like that? But why would you do that?"
No. All I said was, "You have to be aware of the fact that that's a lot of dairy on the belly at Hollywood Studios, where you're going to ride something
Power Pair." Well, in that same vein, what I said earlier kind of still goes for like an iced coffee thing. I don't. Maybe it's just something about like milk being added to something makes me think more of like a snack or food. Like I would eat ice cream if I were hungry. But if I need to be refreshed, I would go for like, I don't know, actually, an iced green tea latte from Starbucks.
But you feel delicious. That way about chocolate as well, right? You, like, you don't consider chocolate to be candy. You consider it to be something more substantial.
It's like a snack food, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't add a ton of milk to my iced coffee, first of all. But second of all, ice cream to me is refreshing, so I guess we're just different there. Yes, I want to be hungry when I eat it, but it's also going to refresh me. A big double dip waffle cone from the plaza.
And I think they just got rid of these, didn't they? But those chillers or whatever they were called at Starbucks.
The refreshers?
Refreshers. Those were really good. I like those. And it was a shot of caffeine and it was cool and crisp. I like the lime one, but I think I saw they got rid of them, or at least they got rid of one of the flavors.
They still got the. They still sell them in grocery stores, like the, like instant or whatever they are.
I think they got. Maybe they just got rid of one of the flavors, and that's what people were.
Okay, that would make more sense.
Anyway. Well, the last part of this tip was to stay hydrated, and we already talked about buying your own water bottles and bringing them with you during the day. Which is obviously a good idea, but if you just need to buy a bottle of water, do so. Derek mentioned the free tap water you can get. That's obviously refreshing and hydrating. The last thing you want to happen on your Disney World trip is to get dehydrated, pass out, vomit on yourself. You know, you don't want to be that person being carried away in the stretcher with an IV because you're too stubborn to drink water. And to be honest with you, I'm a person that's, I think I'm sensitive to that kind of heat. I don't know. But I've never been at Disney World and had that kind of experience with the hotness. I think there's just enough time for you to get hot and be inside, And maybe it's just the way that we, you know, we do the parks that makes it work that way. But I've never gotten to that point at Disney World.
For me, it starts with a headache. Whenever I start to get a headache, I know it's because I haven't been drinking enough water. And once I start to hydrate myself, it goes away.
Hey, you should never gulp water down all at once.
Man, we're like Dr. Oz on this show all of a sudden.
That's right.
I did not know that until maybe, I don't know, a few years ago. I don't even know where I heard it. It might have been on another Disney podcast, but I looked up the science behind it, and it is true. You should never, if you're dehydrated and you're thirsty, the best way to hydrate is to just take kind of continual small drinks of water and not to gulp it, because that will... That's
Come
where
on,
the science
Doc.
Fails me.
Yeah, it will mess you up.
It'll just mess you up. Something, the electrolytes don't balance themselves and stuff and hydrogen. And
neurons. And
yeah, something doesn't happen when you gulp
all
it
right,
all at once.
Dr.
And it can
Nigel
actually,
Channing.
And it can actually make you sicker or worse by gulping it all
you
at once.
You can overhydrate. I do know that.
Yeah.
And here's the best tip of all. Don't come to Disney in July. There you go. That's the best tip you can.
If it can be avoided.
February when it's 70 degrees and lovely instead of 117.
Yeah. Well, but there you go. If you are there this month or the coming months, hopefully those tips will help you out. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to follow us on social media, review us on iTunes, send your comments to comments@madchatters.net, and come back next week. We'll see you then.
Take a little time to find the magic in every day.
Bye-bye now.
Disney Confessions, or just Confessions?
Well, he did Disney Confessions, okay, so he'd probably do that.
Disney. Confessions. Is that good?
Yeah, you may want to do it again, because I think Matt did like a snort thing.
A snort thing?
No, like snort. All right, Pumbaa.
You might want to actually, you know, decrease your volume level with
Disney,
your echoes.
Disney. Okay, fine. All right. Disney. Confessions.
Okay.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
All right.
Really good.
Just as good as the first time.
I decrease the volume that
time? Disney! Disney!
Yeah. And you said confessions, confessions, confessions. It's all right. It's good. That's your confession. You don't can't control your volume.
Yeah, I'll go again. Hold on.
Gosh.
Is he so serious?
Sorry. Here we go. I'm oddly attracted to Martin Short in Canada. Let me say it again.
Okay, okay.
Did I say oddly attracted about Trixie and Crunchy Bear?
Yes. That's like your whole thing. It's your whole spiel.
It's a shtick. It's a callback. It's a right, comedy. Right, right. I'm oddly attracted to Martin Sheen in O Canada.
It's Martin Short. Martin Sheen.
No.
That is very odd because he's not even in that movie.
Oh my gosh. Okay, let me try that again.
Okay.
I'm oddly attracted to Martin Short in O Canada.
Third time's a charm.
Martin Sheen.
All right, it's July. Our advice would probably be... Hold on, I had an opening planned.
Thanks, Captain Obvious.
I'm sorry. I just got really tickled for some reason.
Okay. Oh, we're a mess tonight. Okay.